What's going on? It's Dukes and Bell live at Hooters Mall of Georgia. First day of training camp, and we're hanging out here. We invite you to come out. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey man.
And by the way, if you came to Hooters in the last 2 hours and you saw a sign on the door that said power outage, we'll be back on at 1:30. The power is back on, so come back, okay?
The juice is loose. And, yeah, man, we are here at Hooters Mall of Georgia. It is the Taj Mahooters. And, brother, let me tell you, we've got some of the best listeners out there. We kind of just kind of crashed the bar because we know some of the bartenders. And so they're like, technically the bar is not open. I go, oh, hell, is the ice cold? I basically went like Nick Nolte, oh, the ice is cold. So me and Low Country, if you follow the Falcons, big podcaster, some of our mutual friends, and we just basically bum-rushed the place, jumped in at the bar, and thanks to the staff, and served up some drinks. And some folks are still on the outside. They're getting everything straightened out. But in the next few minutes, you guys will be ready to roll right in, and we'll be good to go through six.
Yeah, so I know some of you were here. Our producer, executive producer, Day-Day, rolled up real early, and he was like, there were people waiting outside to come in for us. And obviously, that sign might have said, well, I'll come back. Come back. We want to get a chance to see you. Hey, guys, we're going to tell you all about what we saw today. We've got Michael Penix on the show coming up. A little bit later on this hour, you'll hear what our quarterback had to say, and we'll tell you the vibe. But I will have to start with this, Mike. The first thing out of Michael Penix's mouth today when he addressed the media. So we talked to him first. Then he goes in and he addresses the other media. And the first thing, he wasn't even prompted, but it tells you that they are listening to us. He says, Mike, quote, we got KP the ball today. There's going to be a lot of that. For those of you who don't know what he's talking about, KP is Kyle Pitts.
Yeah, man. Kyle Pitts, it continues to be a big line of conversation, a focal point. I know for some Falcon fans about what we think this offense is going to be. I will say this. Kyle Pitts, it was very interesting when they had the media scrum because we were waiting to talk to Michael Penix. And then the first few questions were about his foot. And he basically never gave anybody – I'm just telling you this. I'm not misrepresenting what I heard. You can call in on this one, Carl. He never really said anything about what the nature of the injury was. Talk to the trainers. So were you on ice? Were they going to trade you? I mean, what was going on? It was very – I got to be honest, very confusing to this media member.
I felt like Kyle didn't answer that question today because he didn't want – to make it seem as though the injury is lingering or to give anybody a reason to doubt.
Ammunition, right?
Correct. And so, to Mike's point, because we looked at each other, because we were standing there like, did he just kind of deflect that not once, not twice, but three times? He kept saying, yeah, I'm fine. I'm good to go. Oh, the injury, I mean, you're going to have to talk to the trainers. And obviously, guys, the trainers are not going to reveal what the injury was.
No, trainers don't talk to the media.
So instead of him just saying, and this is my thing, Mike, remember when I was like, what kind of injury are we discussing? Is it a foot? Is it an ankle? But instead of him just owning that, he deflected today, and it was weird, but he's 100%. He's ready to go, and he was out there. And to Michael Penix's point, they did connect today. They did throw a lot of balls to him early on in 11-on-11. So – guys, if this is any indication that this is what the season is going to be like, watch out.
Very excited. Got to see Michael Penix Jr. a couple of times today. Now, again, they're not in full pads, but they were going 11-on-11.
Yes.
Which, I mean, usually we see a little bit of grab bag the first couple of days. Remember, guys, you heard Dave Archer on the morning show this morning, on the morning shift with the gang, talking about two-a-days. And since the collective bargaining agreement, you know, years now, you just don't get that kind of intensity. They kind of ramp it up over the first 5 days. But I'll tell you what, there was a lot of downfield throws. The secondary looked great. There were some times I think Michael Penix would probably want to maybe pull a little bit quicker. And the ultimate irony, Carl and Day-Day and I, we were talking, and I'm like, is it just me, or does Kirk Cousins look really fluid moving his feet? Because now he's a full year and a half removed from that Achilles injury. So, ironically, Kirk Cousins does look a lot better than he did at this time last year. And, of course, we'll get into what happened up at Jets camp today. But immediately, as soon as we heard there was a potential injury to Justin Fields, we thought, well, here we go.
Yeah, look.
I didn't forget how to play quarterback.
No, we understand. It's going to be this way throughout the rest of the season. No matter who gets hurt, the immediate assumption is going to be the Falcons are going to call or they're going to call us, and there's going to be a conversation about Kirk Cousins. I don't know if that's going to be true. We're still hearing about the injury to Justin Fields and whether it's serious or how long he may or may not be out. But you're right, Mike. Immediately, that is the thought process. Meanwhile, guys, we've been wondering about the health of some of our players. Braylon Trice, ready to go. He is first time going full speed since the offseason and the injury that happened last year. Also, we talked about Kyle Pitts. He's cleared health-wise, so nothing to report. The guy that is interesting is Troy Andersen. Troy Andersen has been placed on the physically unable to perform list. They call it the PUP list.
Right.
And that was interesting, Mike, because all offseason we thought this guy was rehabbing and was going to be healthy and ready for camp. And he's not.
Yeah, and as we said, since he has been drafted, he can't stay healthy. And again, now you add a level of, okay, if I can't see you, I can't start you. You can't show the coaches and a new coaching staff on the defensive side what you're all about. So Troy Andersen, I mean, look, I hate to say it, but if this guy can't be on the field in the summer, then you're not going to win your position. Then it's going to require somebody else either screwing up or getting injured for you to get on the field. So this, unfortunately, this predates Terry Fontenot as a general manager, but this is a potential another second-round bust.
Yeah.
And we've had some major busts in the second.
Yeah, look, you're going to get to a point, and this is maybe also, Mike, the reason they went out and got Diablo and got some help at the linebacker position.
Right.
Because maybe the indication was, we don't know if he's going to be healthy or not. Either way, Troy Andersen might play himself out of a job. And not only out of a job, he may play himself out of being a roster spot on this team if he's unable to play. Either way, that's where we're at right now if you talk about the health. The storyline today, guys, and we'll let you hear Michael Penix coming up in just a little bit. It's Dukes and Bell live from Hooters, Mall of Georgia location. Come on out and hang out with us. Again, power is on. So we want to tell you guys who stopped in, you can come back, hang out, and eat and do all the things. But, Mike, I'll say this. The story today was just that. It was Kyle Pitts speaking and saying it's a new year and he's ready for the challenge. And it was his quarterback today as he started his presser saying, we got the ball to KP. They are obviously engaged in the conversation that everybody's talking about, which is, can Michael Penix make him better? And I said this to you the other day. Maybe his quarterback, hint, hint, is giving him confidence that he hasn't had.
Right. And maybe, as we said, you brought it up, Michael Penix Jr. will be the tonic, just the savior of Kyle Pitts' career. Now, again, it might not wind up the next chapter here in Atlanta. It could be a free agent because I don't know how the money works for all the other things we got to do. We talked about that earlier in the week. But, yes, they've forged perhaps a bond. Penix is just such a strange and hard guy to get a read on because, I don't know what do you expect him to come in with his head down and go, I've got to be better. I will be better this year. He doesn't do that.
That's
not how he plays it.
No.
He comes in kind of loose, goofing around a little bit, kind of playing. And that's fine. You can be like that and just be a rock star on the field. But it's going to be a make-or-break year. I think he's gone either way at the end of this time. It's cool because for Falcon fans, everything you and I've talked about, how Bijan creates the mismatches with Kyle Pitts and, Drake London and Darnell Mooney, all these guys, but we never saw them really kind of force defenses on its heels, maybe save for three or four games. Right? So if that makes this offense as dynamic as it should be, so be it.
Yeah, look.
But I just don't understand. Here's the thing. I just don't understand what Kyle Pitts is.
Okay. And maybe we get a better understanding of what he is with this offense this season. I think Zach, our offensive coordinator, Zach Robinson, Mike, spent an offseason, not the entire offseason, but spent obviously quality time designing plays and making sure that they were going to find ways to get him the ball, which has been my thing. If you got this special talent, this unicorn,
right,
you find ways to get him the ball. You don't tell me he doesn't fit the offense. You don't tell me he's playing out of position. You don't tell me he's a Z when he's an X or an X when he's a Z. You find ways to get him the ball. So I think Zach Robinson did that in the offseason, and we're seeing a little bit of that, guys. And again, we're not spilling any secret sauce here.
No.
I'm just telling you, for all the fans that were there today, the one thing they left went, man, they were throwing the ball to Pitts today, and he was catching them.
He was. Now, some of this was, it's the first day of practice. You don't want to overread it and go crazy. But there was some athleticism. And whatever that was during the mini camp, he seems to be good to go now. One of the other things that struck me, I was just talking to some of the guys at the bar before we got on the broadcast, and he goes, what impressed you? I was talking to our old producer-engineer Jarvis Davis, who played D-line in college. How about the way Zach Harrison looks?
Well, remember, he's always been a
we big talked
dude.
About him getting some lead in his dumper, getting a bit bigger in the bottom. But, man, and it's just one day. So, again, as we said, take it with a grain of salt. But there were some plays where he was explosive. off the edge, and still edge and playing tackle. So that sort of hybrid DT or DE.
Yeah, look, I think he was out of place last year. And look, this is no homerism here. Mike, nobody could block him at Texas. Zach was – he was that dude. When you play out of position, you know what happens? You think too much.
Right.
Play him inside. It adds more size to what's going on down there. And, you know, I love what he can potentially bring. And, again, all of these guys, nobody's going to dominate guys. He's a rotational guy. He'll get plenty of playing time.
But it does help us in the middle. We talked about it all week.
Absolutely. We're talking about guys that we need guys to pop, whether it's right. Rook, whether it's Onyemata, whether it's Zach. How are that interior D-line going to look? So I'm with you, but I say that to say I thought last year, man, he was just kind of playing out of position, and then you see how they're using him or attempting to use him this year from what we saw today.
Hey, another guy, and this is just, again, one day people ask us, what do you see? What do you know? What do you see? What do you say?
What do you see?
But I will say this. Some of the guys that we had talked about, and, you know, what are we getting as far as the corners and some of these people, Xavier Watts looks the part. But I got to tell you, man, Billy Bowman, and this is the thing, just talking to a couple of dudes, you know, with the Falcons on and off, you know, the record. But Billy Bowman, he loves to hit. And he came up, and he's a guy that, like Tyrann Mathieu, in his mind, he's a linebacker. And so I'm just saying, if they can find a way to get him on the field and maybe in that sort of dime package. But Billy Bowman, you see the athleticism. I mean, it just in one day, it did surprise you and it stuck out.
404-726-0929. Bar's filling up.
People! What's up? What's going on, everybody?
Hey, man.
That's what I'm talking about.
Slim is bringing the speaker in as we speak, Carl. We're going to talk like this for the end of the segment.
I want to make sure everybody knows. Can I get a hey, man?
Hey, man.
That's what I'm saying right there. That's what
you want to be a part of this party? You want to be in the boat or out of the boat? You want to be in the boat at Hooters.
404-726-0929. You guys can chime in. Mike mentioned it. We have to mention it as well. Justin Fields injured today. Starting quarterback for the Jets. Remember, they signed him this offseason. There is no fracture. This is the latest report in the toe that got stepped on in practice. The reason why this was a concern, guys, is because he got carted off, or at least he jumped in the cart. So at first it was Mike Achilles. We were thinking about all these different things. Report is no fracture in the toe. He got stepped on by an offensive lineman. He is getting an MRI, and the team continues to gather information. But it doesn't look maybe as serious as we thought maybe this morning.
No, because up and down the sideline where all the Atlanta's media elite was gathered watching practice, immediately all of us are like, Cousins to the Jets. But that's not exactly the case. After medical evaluation, Josh Kendall reporting, Justin Fields sustained a dislocated toe will be day-to-day. So a dislocated toe, what, 2 weeks, 3 weeks?
Maybe.
I mean, at first we were hearing everything. Some knucklehead on a bogus account, a burner account for Schefter, was saying the Achilles, which had half of the NFL world losing their mind. But it is a toe injury. But it is a team that, again, we're just looking to dump Kirk Cousins, guys. Sorry. I mean, to Kirk Cousins, but them's the facts.
Michael Penix on the way. Mike and I got a chance to talk to our quarterback today. You'll hear what he said about his connection with his guys, what he said about his tight end, his growth. Stay there. It is on the way. We're live at Hooters Mall of Georgia. It's Dukes and Bell. Dukes and Bell live at Hooters Mall of Georgia. First day of camp in the books, and you're going to hear our interview with Michael Penix Jr. coming up in about 10 minutes. Stay right there. Also, we've got a family four-pack for you and your family to come to Margaritaville, Lanier Islands Water Park. Mike and I are going to be there August 1st.
Are we going to take our shirts off?
If you want to.
I think it'd be a good opportunity to take our shirts off.
Let's do it. 2-6. I love that water park. It's fun. They got some fun slides. I don't care. Now, I will say this. Because of some of the stuff that's... They used to be more open. I'm just going to say Anyways, 2-6, August 1st. Tickets provided by Margaritaville at Lanier Islands Water Park. Tickets on sale, Margaritaville Resorts.
Bring my boat up with my wife. You want to meet my wife, Carl?
I'd like that. What's her name?
Her name's Veronica.
Veronica?
She's got freckled shoulders and other stuff, too. Please.
Freckled
come.
Shoulders?
Yeah, and other things in the front. Please, Carl. It's totally appropriate.
If I was that guy, I'd say something like, show me. All right.
This is not Cocktail Cove, but we will do our best to make it into
not.
It.
It's not. But we're going to be up there, man, and we've got tickets for you. As we discussed day one, today, and Mike, here's the deal. I got to ask you this, and I may ask you this every day that we're up here. We're live at Hooters again. Folks have made their way in. The bar is packed. We're having a good time. Come hang out with us. Beers are flowing. How do you feel? How do you feel?
Now, we were joking around. Some of this we were having fun with because every year for the last 25 years, I mean, hell, I was excited going into 2007 with Bobby Petrino. Of course, Mike Vick kind of had something to say about that season. I am measuredly optimistic.
Okay.
How's that?
All right.
I'm not going to be the hype man.
You didn't like Pitts catching the ball today?
No, I'm glad to see Pitts, but as I
said, like those deep balls to Pitts today?
I was just talking to our boys. I said, I got two words for Pitts, compensatory pick.
Yeah.
Because that's probably what it's going to wind up being. Because when you look at, you know, let's just say for argument's sake, Kyle Pitts is right up there with Kelce, you know, right up there with the elites at
yes,
tight
please.
End.
Yes, please.
You know, do you say 2 years out of five equals a, pick your number, what the top tight end makes? That's a hard conversation for me to say yes to. You know, that's why I'd say I'd rather just get back to the drawing board on tight end, and we'll just pay Drake London and Bijan.
Wait a minute. The season hasn't even started yet. You're ready to move on from Kyle Pitts. He hasn't even shown you what he can do.
I was ready to move on from Kyle Pitts 2 years ago, like most of the bar right here. I mean, look, if he brings us something, that's great. And he needs to. And you and I said it. Is Zach Robinson going to get him? Is he going to be integrated into the offense? Or is his lack of production last year because he didn't do the work he needed to buy that confidence from his offensive coordinator? It's the great chicken and the egg. I think the truth lies somewhere in the middle.
All right. Look, for me today, and look, there was no one touting this more last season, and this is why I was probably more disappointed than most.
You said he was the linchpin of the season.
The key. If Pitts can do these things, Mike, the offense looks different and it opens up so much more. I mean, everybody is oohing and aahing at Bijan catching a little quick hitter. Imagine what that opens up for Bijan underneath. Imagine what it opens up for Ray-Ray McCloud underneath. I mean, all of these things we've been talking about. So I am like, dude, show me. I'm with you. But I'm happy to see that they're making a concerted effort to look like they want to go to this guy.
So it's kind of funny. This is something we've been literally talking about every other week. We get into the Kyle Pitts conversation. First thing that Michael Penix Jr. says in front of the media, we got KP the Rock today. So we'll see where that goes. One thing for sure, Darnell Mooney took a hard hit today. See him when he went down? Was that Ray? It was Darnell, right?
Yes, it was Darnell on the deep
yeah,
ball.
Yeah, it was a deep ball, and I think it was, I want to say D. Alford, some other guys converged on the ball, and he kind of got elevated because a couple guys were asking us, were at practice, you know, what happened. He kind of looked like he was walking off to the side. You know, I didn't see anything on a medical for him as far as from the Falcons, but he did get elevated. He came down hard, so that's probably why, erring on the side of a precaution.
No doubt about it. We'll talk plenty about what Michael Penix had to say to us. Also, you will hear Raheem Morris, who jumped on with Andy and Randy today at Live at Flowery Branch. And as far as Raheem today, you know, I asked him, Mike, about the defense specifically and said, do you feel like the playmaking has been upgraded? And he absolutely laid out, yeah, I do. When you add the draft picks that we had to what we already have here with Bates and A.J. and Caden Ellis, and there was a lot of talk about Caden Ellis today as well because of his unique skill to be able to rush the passer and also play middle linebacker. But he feels like the playmaking has been upgraded, and that was good to hear from the coach who is going to be in on it at some point
with the
defensive coordinator putting plans together to try to slow down some of these offenses. So as far as the defense is concerned, that's the side of the ball for me, and I've been saying this. I'm watching a little bit more. The offense is going to be showcased because everybody wants to see Penix throw the ball. I'm paying attention to the defense.
Hey, one of the other things, guys, James Pierce Jr. We spent a lot of time talking about, you know, Jalen Walker just comes out from the Kirby, you know, Smart Football Academy, and he comes out polished, sounds like a CEO. And, you know, the first interview we had with James Pierce, you know, he was kind of like, kind of a little awkward because, you know, he's getting more comfortable with it. Had a fun conversation with Tori McElhaney, who writes for the Falcons website. She was saying how, you know, he came up to her and said, hey, be patient with me. I'm getting better at this. So he's making a concerted effort to be more comfortable with the media.
Yeah.
You and I were talking with him after we did the media scrum, and I told him about, you know, what his former teammate had to say, you know, from Tennessee, and he kind of got a smile on his face. And he said, yeah, he goes, I'm getting more comfortable in front of the microphone. And that's cool because I will say this, the size and the speed element, I mean, it does show. He looks the part. I mentioned earlier Zach Harrison, who's kind of been, you know, if not underwhelming, just haven't seen the full potential. He in the rotation defensively with that size, all of a sudden, now that you and I spent a lot of time earlier about defensive tackle, along with, you know, Onyemata and certainly with Rook Ororo, that all of a sudden becomes something now, wow, we may have something there. If Zach's going to really, you know, live up to that potential. Remember, he was the man at Ohio State, wound up being a third-round pick.
Correct. There was a moment today, I'm trying to remember who he was playing against, because
Zach beat Jake one-on-one in one sequence.
No. I'm talking about off the edge. It was – who was the tackle that was out there? Oh, Storm Norton. Storm Norton was on the field. And Caleb McGarry, which we'll talk a little bit about here as well coming up, he spoke to the media today. Caleb McGarry is just a, you know, very simple dude. He really – he's not looking to add any sauce to anything.
Right.
And kind of deflected a lot of questions as well when they asked him about, you know, what's it like with Michael Penix in the huddle? And he was like, well, takes command of the huddle. I mean, like, what do you want me to say? But Storm Norton was playing against on the edge.
Right.
And at one point, Mike, there was a conversation with Pierce. And, you know, they're close enough to the sidelines. And we heard from his teammate how Pierce used to get upset at the scout team sometimes if they didn't give him the right look.
Right.
And he says to Norton, they're talking back and forth, and you hear Pierce go, that ain't it. That ain't it. And it was funny.
Yeah, you're not
this
doing
is a
what
rookie,
right,
though.
Right, he's bringing it.
This is a rookie. And I'm like, okay. Now, again, guys, everything is up. You're not trying to hurt your teammates. These guys don't have on full pads yet. This again, this is you coming in off of mandatory minicamp. You're starting where you left off, and you have installed a lot of stuff, and guys know what to do. But I was kind of surprised that he even said anything, Mike. And we heard it on the sideline, and I looked over at Mike Johnson from the morning shift, and Mike and I kind of looked at each other, and I was like, okay, you know, I like to hear this. A rookie normally just does what he's supposed to do. This guy was like, that ain't it. And he was telling Storm Norton, who's been in the NFL, like, I need more or stop the nonsense. Either way, I loved it.
And that's something we talked about, and I mentioned to him about Bryson Easton, who's a defensive lineman for Tennessee. We spoke to at the Hall of Fame at SEC Media Days, saying that he was a practice dog. I mean, not dog in practice, like he was a dog in practice. And so that runs counter to the things that we heard, again, in the lead-up that was out there in the media and the pre-draft stuff, which, as we said, could be some nonsense. And I'll tell you what, he's a likable dude, and I think he's getting more and more comfortable, but you just can't coach that size and speed that he brings.
You were talking about Zach Harrison. I was talking about Taquan Graham, and I think Taquan Graham is another guy.
Right.
When I said nobody's blocking him at Texas, you talked about Zach Harrison. Those two guys, to me, both of them, when you talk about usage and how you're going to utilize them in the middle of this defensive line, can help. And that's where now with Leonard Floyd, and if you're going to put Caden out there in some cases, and you've got James Pierce, and, oh, we hadn't even mentioned Jaylen Walker, you can move those guys inside because they're versatile.
Right.
Those are the two guys, and I mix-match the names, but Harrison, I was talking about Taquan Graham.
Caden Ellis would have busted up a play. It was a swing pass to Bijan. Caden Ellis is right on top of that. So he looks like he's, again, he's always a leader and always looks the part. And the offensive line, you know, we talked about, you know, the strength of the unit and how is New Zeal going to do the job at center. Didn't see any problems there. The only penalties were a couple of offsides, no false starts today.
Sure.
So trying to keep it clean. And usually the defense has the advantage the first few weeks of preseason, but there were some plays to be made. As we said, Kyle Pitts was making plays.
404-726-0929. Invite you to follow us on social media. Mike Bell, ATL, and I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes. The radio show is Dukes and Bell 929. Follow this radio station at 929 The Game. See my man over here from Buford. Who's in here from Buford?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's the team look like, man? What y'all going? Y'all going to be all right?
Well, he said that some guys are upset with the salary cap this year at Buford.
So they're trying to. I understand.
They're trying to work around that. And then Dave, my boy, there's my boy from Section 342.
My man.
And a proud Seminole, by the way. And I look at Dave and go, I think we'll have lots of tickets for you this year in Tallahassee.
He brought us cool gifts last year.
Yes, he did.
Thank you.
That's almost like you're asking him to do it again.
Well, I wouldn't say it. You did. But I'm just saying he brought us really cool gifts. Thank you for being
personalized here, Falcon and FSU mugs.
Appreciate
that he did
y'all.
Last year.
And I know some staff up there with Buford. You guys, man, do an excellent job. High school football is right around the corner, by the way. Excited about that as we get Falcons camp underway. Mike's going to have more in Guy Talk. But I got to mention, if you've not heard, Hulk Hogan passed away today, 71 years old, cardiac arrest, which, again, you would think, okay, all those years of all the things that
he
these
put
guys
in his body.
Did, but Hulk Hogan, a pivotal figure, guys, and look, politics aside, iconic when it comes to what he did for wrestling, how he grew the sport, and more importantly, Mike, the role he played over the last 35 years. So Hulk Hogan passing away today at age 71.
I think most of us in radio over the years, you had a chance one time or another to interview the guy, and everything you saw, that was him. I mean, he was that guy. He lived the gimmick. But as we say, there's generally not much of an old-timers day for wrestlers. Surprising that Ric Flair is still cooking. We just talked about Rick, you know, battling skin cancer and getting it done. But, yeah, man, 71 for the Hulkster. And as we said, those guys, the damage they do to their bodies, both whether it's internally or externally,
But amazing legend. He was a big part of that Vince McMahon documentary on Netflix with all the things that he did both with WWE and then making the switch coming over to Turner. Remember the NWO and all that?
Legendary.
And an icon. And as you said later on, like it or not, you know, coming back on the national stage in politics, speaking at the Republican National Convention.
Ric Flair posted, "I'm absolutely shocked to hear about the passing of my close friend Hulk Hogan. Hulk has been by my side when we started in the wrestling business. Incredible athlete, talent, and friend, father. Our friendship has meant the world to me. He's always been there for me, even when I didn't ask it." Long post. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Ric Flair, he's got pictures up, and people are certainly reacting to that as Hogan passing away today.
You know, and it's funny. You don't want to be trite because, you know, these are people that are iconic and mean so much to a lot of our audience. But amazing how, you know, you lose Malcolm Jamal Warner, I should say, and then you lose, you know, Hulk Hogan. We already talked about Ozzy Osbourne. And I know it's cliche, but it does seem to happen. Chuck Mangione also passed away.
Yes, he did.
Legendary jazz trumpeter from back in the day.
All right, guys, coming up, our conversation with our quarterback. You want to know what Michael Penix is thinking, what he feels about this particular training camp now that he is officially the starter? You will hear it next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Dukes and Bell, we get a chance to chop it up and talk with our starting quarterback, Michael Penix. We talking about my quarterback. Michael Penix, first day of camp, man. How different is this compared to last year where you were mentally, physically, preparation-wise? How different does it feel?
I mean, the only difference is, I mean, I got a different title this year, you know, but I always cut the main thing. You know, the goal is to do whatever I can to help this team win football games, and that's going to continue to stay that. So still the same mindset, you know, just a different title this year.
You were known as a great leader, man, a captain at Washington. Do you feel more comfortable taking that leadership role this season?
Yeah, man. I've always been comfortable in that role. You know, it don't come overnight. You know, obviously you got to gain that trust from the guys. And, you know, each and every day I continue to try to prove that, make sure the guys know that I'm somebody they can look at as a leader. And, you know, I just got to come out here and be consistent each and every day. And my play is going to speak for itself. So,
Michael Penix joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So a lot of conversation about Kyle Pitts this offseason. Saw that you guys got together, not just Pitts, but your receiving core. Yeah. Did you orchestrate that? Did you call the guys and say, hey, let's hook up and get together? And do you feel like you got some quality work in? Or was it just, hey, hanging out and get to know guys?
Yeah, to be honest, Darnell Mooney, he called that up. You know, I definitely knew I wanted to get with the guys. But Mooney, he said it's on him this year. he took it this year, and he was like, hey, man, I know you're fresh to it. You know, this is your first year starting. You know, I want to – He wanted to take over this year, you know, bringing the guys out, you know, to Cali and working together. So, but that's just the leader that he is as well, you know. But next year, it'll definitely be on me. So,
what's up, Darnell?
Darnell Mooney, baby. Hey, what's the relationship like with Zach Robinson, especially now that you are going to be the man from the jump as opposed to taking it in midseason last year? Anything different with the playbook, or is he working to your strengths?
My relationship with him is great. You know, he trusts me, I trust him, and he's gonna call whatever's on that playbook, because he know. As long as we're on the same page, you know, whenever we get out there, you know, we're going to go out there and make it work. You know, every call not going to be great. Every play by me not going to be great. But at the end of the day, we got to lean on each other, you know, in those hard times and even in those good times, you know, and always trust each other and, you know, always come to an understanding when it comes game day. And we locked in and we're going to do whatever it takes to win football games.
Michael Penix joining us here on Dukes and Bell. Mike, there was a play last year Mike and I talked about where you went to Drake, y'all missed it, and you went right back to it, yeah. And you hit it for a touchdown. And I bring this up only to say, how much confidence do you instill, not only in Drake, but also maybe Kyle Pitts, and say, hey, I'm coming to you. Dog, I'm getting you to rock. Like, does that help? And is that you? Do you do those things for those guys, or is it just a situation that happens and plays out throughout the course of a game?
Man, it's what we do, not on Sundays, but, you know, throughout the week, each and every day, you know, gaining that confidence, gaining that that trust with those guys, and allowing them to understand, like, hey, man, we nobody perfect. You know, we strive to be perfect, but nobody's perfect. Everybody's not going to make every single play, you know, but as long as we continue to play the next play, you know, the ball will find you, and I'm always going to find an open guy. So they know that. They'll get the ball.
You remember that play?
I do.
We do, because that's the thing. Michael Penix Jr., our quarterback, joins us on Dukes and Bell. When we talk to people around the country about the Falcons and they ask us about you, I say that Sunday night game against the Commanders, that was like a big moment. It's like a playoff type atmosphere, and you made one of those great throws to Kyle Pitts for a touchdown. Did you go back and look at all your film from last year?
Yeah, I did. I did.
What'd you think?
Oh, I mean, it was a lot of things to work off of. You know, obviously, you know, it was tough connecting, you know, early on, you know, but you know, as we continue to get better each and every day, you know, just spending all that time, you know, outside of the game field and even off the field as well, you know, just building that relationship with those guys, you know, that connection to continue to build. And I've been seeing it build all offseason. I can't wait to see what we do this year.
SEC Media Days just happened. Kalen DeBoer was in town, and he said, hey, you came to the crib. Y'all kicked it. You have a great relationship with him. What is he telling you as you've now made your way into the professional ranks and helping you as long as he's known you? Probably he says he's known you better, you know, as far as an offensive coordinator and being around you than anybody else.
Yeah, man, he just telling me to be myself. You know, he said that's all I got to do, be myself. He told me to just trust my abilities and, you know, just go out there and have fun. You know, that's the biggest thing he always say, just have fun, you know, and be you. And that's the main thing that he always tell me.
Speaking of having fun, man, people loving the vibe, the working class hero, man, being at Costco, when you get the word, you're going to be the starter. What else did you do this summer, man? What was your offseason?
This summer, I didn't really do too much. I went back home to my city, in Dade City. You know, I had a kids camp there. You know, truly enjoyed that. You know, all the kids that came out and supported. And
had a street named after you, didn't you?
Got a street named after me. That was a blessing as well, too, you know. So those things, I got out to fish a little bit, been trying to golf, get my golf game better, but that's about it.
How'd you
already catch?
Yeah, we're all fishing. Well, we try to fish.
Yeah, we went trout fishing.
Okay.
Yeah, out there trout.
In the golf game, what's it look like?
It's getting there. I ain't going to talk too much about it, but it's getting there.
Well, now it's go time, so you shutting that down, right? You won't have time to do that.
Yeah.
Michael, what do you want to improve on, man? I mean, obviously, three-game sample space, but you know your game. You know what you're capable of.
Mm-hmm.
Coming into this season, you say, this is what I got to be better at. What is that?
Just the connection with the guys, you know, obviously seeing last year, you know, seeing all the plays that was left out there, you know, it's not something that, you know, I'm used to seeing. You know, I like to at least give my guys a chance, and it was a times last year where I wasn't giving them a chance, you know, so just make sure I give those guys a chance, you know, just connecting with them, you know, day in and day out, make sure that our chemistry is where it needs to be.
Do we know what the workload's going to be like in preseason? Because I know last year we wanted to see more of you in preseason. Have you talked to Coach about that yet?
No talks about that yet.
What about Kirk Cousins, man? How's that really? I know you're talking about how he's had your back. Same vibe?
Yeah, same vibe, man. He's great. A great guy. You know, he's still a leader. You know, everybody looking at him as a leader, and he's always going to be that. You know.
You feel what's going on around here? I'm talking about Atlanta, like, with you and, like, how people feel and the excitement. Do you feel that?
I am a little bit, you know. I feel like once season come around, you'll see it and feel it even more, you know. But I definitely am feeling the love, you know. It's amazing, you know. I love the city, man. It's a great city. You know, I was glad I got drafted here. You know, I'm not too far from home, so be able to have family come up a lot. So it's been great.
And then finally, we talked a lot about the playoffs. We talked to A.J. Terrell, Jesse Bates. You know, you're in your second year. A lot of these guys have not been in the playoffs. I mean, do you set goals like that, or just it is what it is?
No, we gotta win. we gotta get there, man. That's always the goal, man. Goal trying to win every one, you know. But we're gonna do whatever it takes to make sure that we do that.
Michael Penix, good luck. Thank you, brother.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
I love it. You know, as we said, you know, sometimes other teams will take it one week at a time. Carl, no, we got to get in the playoffs. Michael Penix Jr. knows it. AJ knows it. All these guys, you know, Jesse Bates came from a Super Bowl experience, but a lot of these other guys have never even sniffed the playoffs.
Yeah, look, when he said that to you, and I looked at him. It made me feel good because he's not sitting here going, well, you know, I'm still learning. It may take a little while.
Right.
No, dude, we got to win. And I know it, and we know it. And I'm going to go out every week and try to do what I can to make that happen. So that makes me feel good, Mike, because, again, he's not looking for any leeway. He's not looking for an
right.
out. Right. Well, you know, it's only my fourth game starting. He's not looking for an out. He's like, look, we got to win. I don't care what it takes, who we're playing. Michael Penix has a lot of confidence. And if you didn't see it with the three games we watched last year, I'm just telling you right now, right. We have no reason to go into any week this year and be fearful that our quarterback is not going to be ready, not prepared, or not ready to take on the job at
right.
hand.
And there's different types of confidence. Sometimes the confidence is outward, you know, like, man, like a Cam Newton type deal. Man, Cam is still in his bag over other quarterbacks. Jeez Louise, get over it, Cam. But, you know, the Cam thing, that is sort of the – it's very over, you know it. Some guys are more like Luke low-key with that stuff, you know, like Drew Brees, but he's
sure.
confident and cocky and has that inner confidence. But I think that Penix is somewhere in between, but I love it. And I think the team, everybody you talk to on this team, when you ask any Falcon player about Michael Penix Jr., first thing they smile. Like they're excited to
That's
talk
right.
about this guy.
That's right. 404-726-0929. More Falcons conversation on the way with Raheem Morris, who stopped by Andy and Randy. That's coming your way next hour. But if you're asking us, like, okay, how's he look? He looks healthy. He looks in shape. He looks good. Like, mm-hmm. there's nothing negative to report, like, or concern-wise when you watch Michael Penix. The thing is, Mike, and this is, you know, timing, right, and hopefully just reps. When we watched him, you said it. Is a throw here or too late? Yeah. Is his touch on the long ball or the deep ball excellent? Right. Guys, we may have the best deep ball thrower in the National Football League, and that's not hyperbole. Listen, there's a lot of guys. I know there's Mahomes, and there's a lot right. of guys. But I'm telling you, his deep ball is on point.
Yeah, it comes out. I mean, again, Kirk Cousins, by the way, as we said earlier, for those who are interested, as far as his marketability, will you play him in a preseason game? Because he looks good. Kirk's ball looks so much livelier. Think about where we were this time last year.
Do you think it's a strength?
I just think Kirk is – I think the Achilles is finally 100% healed. And I think he's just got the confidence. When he was – we were watching, as you, me, and Day-Day were watching, and it was kind of like one of those old-school Shanahan naked bootleg plays. And Cousins just looks so fleet of foot because he's had that full year now. So whoever gets him, if we can find a trade partner, we'll get a quarterback that can do the things that he probably couldn't do for much of our season last year.
By the way, brought to you by ATL Live Well. Don't just live, live well. On the way, 4th and 1. We'll take you around the league today as soon as camp started. The reports about Justin Fields are out there. We do have a latest update. We'll get that to you as well. And, Mike, apparently the word out of Chicago is yesterday, and I don't know if you guys heard this, Ben Johnson took Caleb Williams off the field. Apparently he was frustrated with some of the things that were going on and how the offense was running. And, look, doesn't mean Caleb Williams is not starting, but already Ben Johnson is challenging Caleb Williams in a way that I don't think he's been challenged
See,
before.
See, this goes back to, we talked about, you know, how the, if you want to call it misinformation or whatever that data about whatever James Pierce Jr. was perceived to be, maybe is erroneous. There were so many folks, and at the time you and I talked about the pre-draft noise and the old fart scouts and personnel people that somehow feel, oh, look at this guy carrying a purse. He's got pink fingernails. And it's just that old school mentality. And then the guys would then, of course, immediately, does he love football? Has he got that killer instinct? I don't know. You know, he's got to prove some, he's got to prove the haters wrong. Last year, I'll give him a little bit of benefit of the doubt because the team was so disjointed. But you've got a tremendous offensive mind who turned Jared Goff's career around, and now we're trying to do it to yours. So that's it. That's a bit of a tell. I mean, and a bit of it, if I'm honest, going to put him on full blast, isn't he?
You know what's
In front
funny?
Of his teammates.
Well, listen, somebody said this too, and I didn't even think about this. But remember, he was with Lincoln Riley and then left with Lincoln Riley, right? Lincoln right. was at OU.
Right, went to USC.
Went to USC. Caleb was really allowed to do whatever, right? It was kind of like a loosey-goosey kind of deal. Right. You know the offense. You do right. what you feel comfortable. And he'd run around, and do his thing, and he'd make plays. This is structure. And this is what Ben Johnson, mm-hmm. I'm just telling you, it's very Shanahan-ish, Mike.
Right.
Structure. This is what we're doing. And if you do it this way, we're going to have success. But I don't need you doing it this way. And my guess is, without seeing it, just hearing the reports, that he's still kind of loosey-goosey.
Right.
And that right. structure is now like, okay, you need me to deliver the ball. This is where we're going with it. And if you're not doing that, it disrupts the flow right. of the offense.
The tempo and everything's off by a count and nothing works. So it is interesting because you wonder whether things specifically maybe Ben Johnson was working on it with minicamp with him. And, okay, here's some things I need you to work on. And then every hour practice and he's doing the – I don't know.
I don't either.
But either way, you just basically humiliated your quarterback, challenged your quarterback in front of everybody.
It's interesting. Just things like that going on around the NFL. And, again, it doesn't mean Caleb's going to be a bum. I just feel like he's trying to set the tone by doing this with Caleb so everybody else knows
right.
nobody's too big on the team.
The little things matter.
The little things matter. And the little things are going to matter for our Falcons as well. Hey, this hour is brought to you by Total Body Therapy of Georgia. When it's not hard, it's really hard. We're at Hooters, guys, hanging out up here at Mall of Georgia location. This is our home away from home, and it's so good to see a lot of familiar faces, man. It's so cool to see people. And we've been up here, what year is this, 4?
This is year 5 for us being at Hooters, man. Year 5. Look, from around the bar, we got Dave over here. We got, see Spencer Strider's older brother? We got Strider's older brother right here in the
okay,
green cap.
No doubt.
With the stash. And we got our crew over here. We got Allen Iverson. We talking about practice. Our boy, remember we saw him 3 years ago? What's up, G? Yeah, my boy, man. This guy, he's all Falcon down. He's got a great new, I love that Falcons lid. It's kind of that old school 80s vertical piping.
Like that
that's tight.
I like that too. Low Country, what's up, man?
Yeah.
Low Country, what's going on?
Low Country goes,
Yuri, what's happening?
Low Country goes, hey, when can I come on the show? I said, heck that. I go, we're going to sneak you in the club, pretend you're Rick Ross. We just got to get a Sharpie, make a little Florida between your eyes.
These guys travel with the team, not with the team, but as a fan group, man. And we partied with these cats when we went to Charlotte a couple of years ago.
We took over a Hooters in Charlotte to the point where guys and people would come in Panthers gear, literally one step in and turn right around and walk right out the bar. It was a total ATL Dirty Bird takeover.
It really was, man. Because we came in, like, Mike and I were there, and there were Panthers fans walking in. Oh, there's only a couple of them. We'll be fine. And then all of a sudden, two busloads of Falcon fans roll up right at the curb.
And all of a sudden, we ready.
People start walking in. It was like a football team walking into this spot.
Right.
And all of a sudden, people started leaving. We set up a DJ. It was like
we took it over, man.
It was great.
I think we're going to go down the street, I think.
Honey, we'll be closer to the stadium.
Yes, I think we'll walk down to Bank of America. We'll go to Dale Earnhardt's bar.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, big shout-out to DJ Diesel. He said, man, Dukes and Bell, you guys are right. This comes in threes thing.
Right.
Malcolm Jamal Warner, Hulk Hogan passing away today. We mentioned Chuck Mangione.
Ozzy Osbourne.
Ozzy yesterday. And so he said, man, I'm drained. Like, These are iconic figures.
Well, those are big parts.
About.
I mean, you talked about what it meant to Cosby. And again, Bill Cosby, after his show life aside, that was iconic roles. And it was new roles for people on TV to identify with. And that's iconic. Ozzy Osbourne, I told you what effect he had on my life as a kid. And then Hulk Hogan, who we all grew up with.
Yeah.
And then this guy, if you're of a certain age, this was literally, you couldn't go to a dentist's office, Carl, in the 70s without hearing this song.
No, Chuck Mangione was huge. You're right about that. I think he was 84 today.
Right.
I think Chuck was 84.
Great jazz trumpeter.
All right, man, we're coming back. Fourth and one's on the way. More from Falcons training camp, but we'll take you around the NFL. Lots of stuff going on, including the latest from Atlanta's own Justin Fields, the starting quarterback for the Jets. What is the report about his injury? Find out next.